Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. You know, my intention over this past weekend and again as we go through this month of December is to point your attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned the other night that that whenever there is an imbalance in a person's spiritual life, then I've seen people who would have an imbalance in their life, and by that they would not make Jesus Christ the center of their life. They would make something else, and it would be maybe an important truth that really would just spring forth out of a relationship with the Lord, but it was not the main thing. The main thing is Jesus. Amen. Now, it's an important thing. All of our spiritual practices are important. They're valuable. Giving and bringing your offerings and your tithe, that is an important truth. It's an important doctrine and a practice in the church. It's biblical. It's the right thing. But if you make money and giving the hub of the wheel, then you're going to have an imbalance. I've seen that happen many, many times where preachers, I can remember preachers, not so much now, but I remember some years ago, preachers that were on the radio that they would have a short broadcast, and the biggest part of that broadcast was talking about their financial needs. Giving people, you know, here's how to give and send it here, and if you'll give this, then we'll send this back to you. And what happened is there would be an imbalance, and it turns people off, and they reject the truth of the gospel because that's not the hub of the wheel. That's just a spoke in the wheel, and it's not the main thing. And you can talk about just pretty much any doctrine and any practice that we believe from the Word of God. If it is made the center, then things get out of balance. But whenever Jesus is the center of everything we believe, and everything else springs out of our relationship with the Lord, amen. Everything that we do, all of our practice, all of our convictions, every activity of our spiritual life, that it should pour out, spring forth out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And it should be that way as Christians, that we live with that kind of conviction that Jesus is all in all, that Jesus is all we need. We need Jesus in our life. I think it was Ann Graham Lotz that has written a book that's that thick, and I've not got through it. I read some of it. It's called Just Give Me Jesus. And I liked the title and bought the book, but I kind of got bogged down in some of the lengthy message. But I think that she has the right idea. That's where it has to begin. And that's where how we live our lives out with our focus upon who Jesus is. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, this is a faithful saying. And whenever there's several places in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul uses that phrase, this is a faithful saying. And really what he's wanting to do is give special emphasis to it. He wants to make it bold print. He wants to put parentheses around it and underline it and say, this is something worthy. This is something important. Pay attention to it. And that's what he's saying here. This is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation. What is he saying? Well, he's saying that it's worthy to be heard. It's worthy to be received. It's worthy to be believed. This is a message that needs to be spread everywhere, all over the world. It's worthy of all acceptation. It's a worthy message. It's a needed message. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a faithful saying. He's saying this is important. Underline it. It's put it in bold print. Give emphasis to this. It's worthy of all acceptation. Here's the message, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's the message. That's the Apostle Paul describing for us the main thing. We got to keep the main thing, don't we? Amen. And what he's saying is, Jesus, it's worthy of all acceptation. This is an important, trustworthy, faithful saying. Jesus came into the world. Amen. He came into the world to save sinners. That is an important truth, isn't it? And the world needs Jesus. No amount of just religious connection. We got to understand that a lot of people that are out there in the world, they probably won't come into our services. We have to be a light to them. We have to reach out to them. And outside of the walls of the church, we have to take the message of Jesus, because Jesus came for sinners. That's why so much of his earthly ministry was focused on and even spending time with those. He even sat at meat with sinners and was criticized for that, because he came into the world for those that were in the bondages of sin. Amen. Jesus Christ came into the world that men might be saved. Praise God. Now that's an important message. And that's the message of Christmas. That's the message that needs to continue. Amen. Jesus came into this world that men might be saved. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. And we live in a time right now that the gospel is so needed, because we have just a little crack, a little opening in the door of God's grace. We are so close to the end of this age and to the coming of the Lord that there's just a little small opportunity for us. And we don't know how much longer we're going to have it. If you've got family and friends and loved ones and neighbors that you're concerned about, then there should be an urgency in your heart. And understand Acts 17 and 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That God has given grace. He has shown mercy. He gives people opportunity after opportunity. Even in the church at Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2, it was describing Jezebel and that spirit of Jezebel. And it said that I gave her space to repent, but she would not. And it just shows that God is merciful. And he gives opportunities. But that opportunity is closing. And the day of grace is coming very swiftly to a close. Jesus came to save sinners. And we need to get the message of Jesus out there to the world. Amen. Amen. This message is powerful. And it can change people's lives. Amen. This is it. This is really what they have to hear. They need to hear a clear presentation of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. They don't just need religious ideas. They don't just need some of these things that are being purported today as really important. They need the simplicity of the message of Jesus Christ. And they will be changed by that. It is the power of God unto salvation. It will change their life. That's what they need. That's what we all need. Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Paul said in Colossians that he is the all in all. That there's nothing else. There's nothing more. We don't need a plan, a strategy necessarily. What we need to do is follow through and present the message of Jesus Christ to this world. He came into the world. Why did he come? He came for sinners. And Paul said, "And I'm chief of the sinners." He recognized that he desperately needed Jesus in his life. You know, this is the a lot of formal churches, Catholic churches, and various denominations that are more formal, they refer to this season as the Advent season. And a lot of pastors and priests, they have what they call their series of Advent sermons. And they start those sermons before, the week before, or the Sunday before December, and they carry them all the way through, all the way up to the Sunday before Christmas. The word Advent, of course, just means He is coming. It means He's coming. That's the word. It's a Latin word that just means He's coming. And I think it's interesting when you look at the Scripture that you realize that there's nothing more emphatic than the fact that Jesus is coming. And He has always been coming. Amen. Always been coming. Throughout the Scripture, there's only a space of His earthly ministry, those 33 or so years that He lived in this world. The rest of the years before that, those hundreds of years leading up that all these writers in the Old Testament prophesied about, they were all prophesying about the fact that He was coming. It's only that little 33-year period of time that He was here in this world that He was not coming. He was here. Then now that He has ascended into heaven, He's still coming. And so I think that we can say that is really who He is. He is the coming Lord. He is Jesus who has always been coming, and He's always been coming to bring redemption and salvation to the world. Amen. So the next time you hear someone say something about Advent, don't think of a formal church service. Think of what the word means. It means He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He came as the little baby in Bethlehem. In all those hundreds of years, that was the words that were on the lips of the prophets. He is coming. He's coming. He's coming. And then He came. But then, since He ascended into heaven, now it's the message of the New Testament church and of you and I. He's still coming. Jesus has always been coming. Praise God. Amen. And what is He coming to do? To provide redemption, to provide salvation. He came into this world to bring salvation to a lost world. Amen. Praise God for that. The very name that was given to Jesus, the dream that Joseph had, the angel of the Lord coming to him in a dream, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. What's happened here? This is the Holy Ghost has overshadowed her, and she is with child of the Holy Ghost. Don't be fearful to take her and when he's born, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. I always think it's so wonderful that during the Christmas season that for me, my attention is on the real meaning of Christmas. And so everywhere I look, I think about the reality of Christmas. A lot of people complain about it and say, oh, it's so over-commercialized and people spend too much and do too much. But everywhere I look, when I look at the lights, I think about Jesus, who is the light of the world. Amen. When I look at the trees, the evergreen trees, I think about life, eternal life, and that which will never die. Amen. When I see the gifts, that's, you know, we need to think about the reality of the that unspeakable gift, Jesus himself, that was given to you and I and to all of the world that they might be saved. Amen. Names are significant. Fathers typically had a responsibility to give a name. They were the ones who publicly declared the names of their children. That's why the angel said, Joseph, don't be afraid to do this. Take this child and call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. And we know that Jesus is just the Greek form of Joshua. Both of the names mean the Lord is our salvation. Even in his name, he is coming. And he's bringing salvation into the world. That was the express purpose of the names in the scripture were really significant. Adam was called, the name Adam means earth because he was made from the dust of the earth. Abraham, his name was Abram, but his name was changed to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Isaac, his name was, Isaac means laughter, because God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child in their old age. And the miracle of what happened caused them to be astonished. And Sarah laughed. She couldn't believe it. And the Lord said, name him Laughter as a reminder that I have given you a child that is a miracle. Amen. Rachel was dying and named her son Benoni, which meant son of sorrow. Can you imagine going around with the name that reminded you every day that you were born and your mother died giving birth to you? And that's no doubt why that Jacob changed his name from son of sorrow, Benoni, to Benjamin, son of my right hand. Amen. And Simon, his name was changed by the Lord to Peter, which meant rock. Amen. Who he was and what he was going to become. So I just went through those just to remind you that many times that they the name was very significant, identifying who they were or the circumstances of their birth and their life and their purpose in life. And Jesus' name was Savior. The Lord is our salvation. So even in the naming of Jesus, it was declaring the message that the world needs to hear. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that he did? Aren't you glad that he did? You were lost in your sin. You were blinded by sin. But Jesus, when you called upon his name, amen, then you can be saved. When you call upon the name of the Lord. A lot of people are confused and not properly instructed about salvation. It isn't church attendance. It isn't doing the right things and living a certain particular way. You come to the Lord, and salvation has its essence in the fact that you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus, the one who came to set you free from your sin. Amen. Glory to God. Now that gets us down to Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I think it's so amazing because the Word of God, it reveals so much to us about who Jesus is. Because it revealed just in that those two phrases, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, that this child was going to be special. This child was going to be unique, that he was going to be God in human flesh. Unto us a child is born, speaking of his humanity, and that he was going to live a sinless life, even though that he was in the flesh, he was going to be a sinless man. Amen. He was both God and man. Hard to comprehend, hard to understand. Just believe it, because it's what the Word of God says. Unto us a son is given, Christ, the Son of God, deity, the Lord himself. He was the gift of God to a world that was lost and couldn't be saved any other way except through Jesus. For unto us a child is born, speaking of his humanity. Unto us a son is given, speaking of the gift of the Son of God to all of the world. He was both God and he was man. Hard to comprehend it, but it's the truth. Amen. The government, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Again, speaking of two different types of government. We know that Jesus, when he came into the world, most people misunderstood during his earthly life, misunderstood who he was and what he was coming to do. They thought he had come to set up his kingdom and deliver them from the, you know, the domination of the Roman Empire. They thought that that's why that Jesus was coming at that time. And they totally missed it. Many didn't realize it. Even those that he came unto his own and his own received him not. They didn't understand. They didn't comprehend that Jesus came first of all, and that governance was to be over your heart. Amen. He was going to be Lord of all. He was going to go to the cross, and he was going to purchase through his shed blood and through his victory over death, he was going to purchase life for every one of us. And so he at that time was to be the, you know, the governor over the hearts of men. Now we're looking forward to one day when he's going to come back, and then he's going to rule and reign, and the government is going to be upon his shoulder. And Isaiah, you know, he had this amazing vision and prophetic insight into what he was coming to do, to be a Lord over our lives, and eventually, in time to come, to be the governor, to be the authority, to rule and reign over this earth. Praise God. Amen. And all these things, Isaiah saw them 700 years before Jesus was born. Every prophecy, all 300 and some of the prophecies concerning the Messiah, all of them are a miracle that God, by His Spirit, inspired men to write. And they wrote as the Holy Ghost inspired them. They wrote the words of truth. And as they wrote, they wrote down more than 300 direct references to the fact that Jesus was coming. The Messiah was coming. And why was he coming? One purpose: to save his people from their sins. He was coming into this world to deliver men from their sin. When we think of this glorious and wonderful plan, why would we ever doubt that God can save anybody? Amen. The hardest hearted person, the most resistant to the gospel. You have all the power of the truth of these wonderful promises of what Jesus came to do more than 300 times in the Old Testament, reminding every generation that was coming along that Jesus was coming to save people from their sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No more wonderful truth than that. Your family, your loved ones, those bound in their sin that seem resistant and unable to hear or receive the gospel. You have all the power of the truth of those prophecies behind you whenever you declare to them, Jesus can save you if you'll put your trust in Him. Amen. Because that's why He came. That was His sole purpose for coming into this world, that men might be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. All the way up to the birth of Jesus, they were looking to the day that he would come. And now, all of us, after his earthly life, we look back to all that he accomplished at the cross. The cross is the center of all human history. Everything that really matters happened during that short span of his life in this world. Everything was pointing toward it. And now when we preach the gospel, we're pointing back to that glorious truth that men can be saved only through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Good intentions, not enough. Not enough. People in false doctrine, false religion, by the multiplied millions of people all over the world, blinded in terrible religion and doctrine. And it's only Jesus. Only Jesus. And today we are that spirit, that mystery of iniquity, that Antichrist spirit is so strong. It's so resistant to this message that Jesus is the only way. But he is. Amen. He is, and it needs to be declared. So don't ever be afraid or ashamed to declare the gospel to people It's not just a little verse of Scripture. You have all the power and the authority of God's Word and all the history of God's miraculous prophecies, all pointing to the fact that Jesus was coming to save men from their sin. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided a way. And Lord, we have not always fully understood, but now, Lord, we understand to a much greater degree the glorious and wonderful plan that you have given us, Lord, for men to be saved. Oh, Lord, I know that men are going to stand before you one day without excuse, because you have done it all. You have provided the wonderful way that men can be saved. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you came into this world. Thank you, Lord, that even though you were rejected and your message was not received, Lord, thank you that you came. Thank you that you were willing to sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, that you gave of yourself, Lord, that we might be saved, and all of our friends and loved ones and everyone that's in our life, within our reach, Lord, what they need to know about is Jesus. Hallelujah.